This is week one, class three, Power of Fasting. All right, now we're over here in Luke chapter 5, verse 33. Very similar to Matthew chapter 9, where it says, they came to him, disciples of John, they fast often, make prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. Jesus said, can you make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. And this is not a reference to the 12 apostles, to the 12 apostles, because he makes this statement here, but in chapter 6 is when the apostles come along. In verse 12 it says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray. He continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Then it gives the names of all the apostles. So he has this group of disciples. He spends all night in prayer. He calls the group together. Don't know how many there were. And out of that group, he picks 12, and those 12 are the apostles. So when Jesus made this statement about fasting, it was not only about the 12, it was about disciples or disciplined followers. Well, we've already read about being a disciplined follower and how he's talking here about kingdom principles. It's not Jews under the law, it's kingdom principle, body of Christ principle that he's teaching in this. Now, if you look over in Acts chapter 13, so we have Jesus teaching about fasting, making reference to fasting. Now let's take a look at the early church. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now stop right here and look at this. They're ministering to the Lord and fasting. So that means ministering to the Lord and fasting are not the exact equals. See this? So they minister to the Lord, they're fasting. After they've ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit begins speaking to them, or they begin hearing what He's saying. He says, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work. And verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. In other words, can you see in verses 2 and 3, what we're reading here in just a few, maybe 30 words, less than 30 words here, whatever it is, this is describing something that took place over at least a couple of days, because they're fasting, okay? And it may have, this verse 2 and 3 may be talking about a few weeks. We don't know for sure. We just know that they fasted, then they heard, fasted, prayed, laid hands on, and there went Paul and Barnabas out to do what the Lord had called them to do. Now look over in chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must go through much tribulation and enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So in other words, now, please get the image of what's happening here. They go in and they preach. You know, Paul, Barnabas, they're in there, they're preaching. They're getting these churches established, all right? And they're teaching them. Look here in verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. So, they've gone in, they've preached, people are born again, they're teaching them, they're encouraging them, they're giving them gospel of the kingdom, doctrine of the kingdom. And it says that when they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. In other words, they didn't just pick people out and say, okay, you're in charge. Adios. There was prayer and fasting involved in this. See? You notice also in here, do you see voting? No, you don't. Well, who is the one that did the ordaining, as it's put? Paul and Barnabas. They're the ones that are establishing this. So they didn't go before the people and say, well, now, folks, time for us to move on, go somewhere else, establish another church. But before we leave, we need to have somebody in charge here. So why don't y'all get together and talk about it, throw out a few nominations. We'll have them stand before you and say a few words. Then we'll pass out ballots. Oh, wait. Sorry. Too many of you can't read and write. All right, we'll do it with show of hand. We'll vote on who's going to be in charge of your church. No, they didn't do that. The people that had the walk with God were the ones that established the leadership in the church. And even then, they didn't just hand it over until there was praying and fasting. Now, is that a far cry different from what we see today in churches? Hey, can you imagine going into some churches and saying, well, excuse me, but have you guys ever considered doing it this way? Oh, but that was for the early church. And we are what? Why, we're the modern church. Praise the Lord. We know what's going on. Then why aren't we doing this? Maybe we don't know as much as what we thought. Well, look over in Acts 27. Verse 20. And neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. And no, now this is when Paul is on the boat and they're on the way to Italy and the big storm comes up. It said, neither sun nor stars many days appeared. No small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now back up, verse 21, where it says abstinence. That word abstinence, I don't think I put that in the outline, but it's a Greek word that means without food. You say, well, Brother Martin, of course he didn't have food. Nobody had food on that boat. They were all going hungry. Well, now, wait a minute. Paul has already made this speech to them, okay? We're not going to read all the rest of this. We're just going to jump ahead into a couple of particular verses. Verse 34, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. In other words, the food was there. It wasn't that they didn't have any food. But where it talks up there in verse 21, Paul was fasting. It wasn't that he had to fast. He was choosing to fast. He was fasting because of what was going on, to get some clarity from God. And look what happened. He fasts. Now, you know Paul, all right, just from his writings. You know he had to have been praying too. Paul is fasting and praying, and look who visits. Angel of the Lord. A lot of people have said things like, well, I just wish, you know, an angel. Wish I could get a visitation. Well, maybe if you fasted and prayed, how do you know but one wanted to show up? Now, I'm not making any promises, but do you see what I'm getting at? He did this. He didn't get it. He didn't do this so an angel would appear. But an angel did appear and spoke to him. And then Paul says, hey guys, got a word from the Lord. Angel appeared unto me. This is what he said. Everything's going to be fine. Now listen, why don't you go back in there and get in the closet and dig out some food. Because everybody looks like they're pretty hungry right about now. Let's eat, fellas. Everything's going to be all right. And it said they were all of good cheer and they ate. In the middle of the storm. In the middle of the storm, they're having a little party. And everybody's of good cheer. Well, until the ship wrecks, but for the time being, everything's okay. Everything's all right. But see, here's another example of fasting. Now, let's go over to another place. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and faith, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. In other words, as deceivers and yet true, being accused of being deceivers. As unknown and yet well known, dying, yet behold we live, chastened and not killed, and so on. And he goes through this. But if you look back up here in verse 5, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, in fastings. Now somebody, and it is taught, that what he's talking about here, where he says in fastings, that he's making reference to the times where he had no food, and that he didn't have any choice but to go without food. And so that's why he was in fastings, because there was nothing to eat. Well, look over in chapter 11. In verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils... I do not want to be Paul. Do you want to be Paul? In perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now I ask you, why does he make the difference between hunger and thirst and fastings if there's no difference between the two? Hunger and thirst, he's talking about, guys, there were times I had nothing to eat and I had nothing to drink. But not only that, there were also times where I chose to do without food or drink or whatever. I fasted in hunger and thirst and in fastings. In other words, going without, not by choice, and going without by choice. So over there earlier where he was talking about fastings, it wasn't that he was forced to go without, he was choosing to fast. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 4. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to what? Fasting and prayer. And come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinence. And so here's Paul. This is another one of those assumptive things. I'm assuming that you're going to do this. And so he says, look, defraud not yourselves, except it be for a time of prayer and fasting. So, why should it come as a surprise to us that maybe God would expect us to fast? I mean, now, remember, this is God speaking to us. God is saying, defraud not yourselves, husband and wives, except it be for a time of prayer and fasting. God's saying that. Do you understand this? God is making an assumption that somewhere along the line we'll choose to do some prayer and fasting. Now, it's a real problem area in the body of Christ. And I'm not going to begin to repeat to you some of the things that I've heard. But in the full gospel sector of the body of Christ, there is a whole lot of teaching that is anti-fasting. Well, people will say that it's not necessary. Christians don't have to do it. That there's nothing in Scripture about Christians fasting. Well, how much more do we need what we've seen in here? How much more instruction do we need other than what we've seen? You know, from Jesus teaching principles of the kingdom up to what we see in the early church, up to what we see Paul and his teachings and his own experiences. You know, a lot of people talk about how that they'd like to walk in the power that Paul walked in, the anointing, and, you know, that kind of a thing. Well, you know, Paul talks about not just prayer, but he also talks about fasting. Now, in your outline, it talks about the church today. We've seen the early church, or the church today. Well, the general attitude, you know, people drive hours to be in miracle services. Anybody here done that before? Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know of people that have driven for hours, driven for days, flown from one place to the other to be in a service with superpower preacher. Okay? And that's okay, really. There's nothing wrong with that. But for many of them, the reason they've done this is because they are hoping that there's going to be like some kind of anointing rub off from superpower preacher onto them so that they can go back home and be superpower Christian. And they run from one place to the other. And again, I've shared with you before, there is nothing in the world wrong with being in a prayer line, having an evangelist lay hands on you and minister to you. There's nothing wrong with that. But when the goal is to try and get more power, more anointing, just by having somebody lay hands on you so that you can walk away from that, you know, and have this glow about you. It makes you look like you've been in some kind of reactor. I've just been hanging around some uranium, that's all. And you're going after the power that way, it's not going to happen. And yet there are people who will travel. There are people who will, they'll rearrange their schedules just to try to be with Brother Superpower so that they can get superpower. That's not how you get superpower. That's not how you get a greater anointing. That's not how it works. People want to see the power of God demonstrated, yet people criticize fasting without even studying the subject. Now here's the incredible thing about it. We're barely into this course, and already I have shared more with you than most churches have ever heard about fasting. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I've talked to enough people and heard enough pastors to know that what I'm telling you is right. I've shared with you tonight more than most churches have ever covered, ever, about fasting. And not only that, but I also know that there are people that are saying things like that there's nothing in the Scripture that indicates Christians should fast. Well, once again, I point you back to the passages that we just read. It's in there. Christians did fast. Jesus did teach about fasting. And it was an assumptive statement. It was not an if, it was a when. The thing about the husbands and the wives, it wasn't an if, it was a when. And so we do see in the Word of God teaching about fasting. However, there are people that criticize it, but if they don't even understand what you know tonight... See, here's really, it's a sad thing. By the time we're finished here tonight and you go home, you're going to know more about fasting than most Christians. And we haven't even gotten into what the benefits are and what happens and the transformation and the change that takes place on a spiritual level. And yet you're going to leave here tonight knowing more about fasting than most Christians. Because you go to most Christians and you ask them, what's the Bible say about fasting? Most of them are going to tell you they don't know. Ask them, has your pastor ever done much teaching on fasting? Odds are they're going to tell you no. Ask them, is there anything in the Bible, did Jesus teach that the body of Christ is supposed to fast? They may say, I don't know. Is there anything in the book or in the Bible, in the New Testament, indicating that Christians are supposed to fast? Well, I guess maybe there is. No, they don't know for sure. Tonight, you know. See, that's the thing. You know tonight. You're leaving this place now with more understanding about this than most Christians have. And we haven't even scratched the surface yet. And yet, there are people that will criticize fasting, and they don't even know what you know. They don't even understand what's being presented in the Scripture. Now, in your churches, there may be an encouragement to fast. You know, folks, now we need to fast. We need to pray. Or I'm calling a church-wide fast. Praise God for that. There's nothing wrong with it. But what I'm talking about is an understanding about fasting. What does it do? Well, praise God, you know, we fasted and God moved. We moved God with our fast. No, you didn't. And you're going to understand that as we go further into this. In the church today, here's what's interesting. There's probably less understanding about fasting. Now, in the full gospel, there's probably less understanding about fasting than there is about tongues, which is incredible. So there must be something to it. Well, Brother Martin, how do you figure that? Well, if Satan's been so effective to keep it buried, there must be something to it. Must be something about this fasting. There's so little teaching about it, and yet, the further we get into this, you're going to see how that fasting is directly connected to anointing and power. God does not honor a growling stomach. God honors the change that takes place inside you. See? And The church today, the general attitude is anti-fast. Not everywhere, but there's just not an understanding about it. There's not a whole lot of teaching about it. But the perspective from God's Word, there is nothing in Scripture indicating that modernization means no need to fast. You say, well, what do you mean modernization? Well, you look at how we are today. I mean, we are so much more modern than what they had in the... I mean, we've got more versions of the Bible and they didn't even have the Bible. We've got computers, we've got planes, trains, and automobiles. We've got all this kind of stuff. They didn't have that. And it's amazing how that... It's almost like we think that because technologically we're advanced, we're better than the early church. In what way, though? Because we can get from here to there faster? Praise God for that. I don't want to ride camels everywhere I go. I don't want to walk everywhere I go. Thank God for what we have. But if we compare generally now the church of today with things we see happening in the book of Acts, there's not a whole lot of comparison. Now, granted, most of our churches today may be a little bit beyond the Corinthians as far as, you know, some of the stuff that was going on. However, they did have manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit taking place. I mean, they did have that happening. Well, just because we've got more science and more stuff, it doesn't mean that we're better than them. Because God's looking at the spiritual aspect of it, not how much electricity we've got and what our electricity can make happen. He's looking at the spiritual aspect of it. So we can't compare technology. We have to compare spiritually things. All right? That's what we have to do. And there's no reason to think that we're supposed to ignore the pattern in the early church. So if we see fasting along with everything else, but if we see fasting, if we see Jesus teach about it, and then we see it happening in the book of Acts, and then we see Paul referring to it in other places, then why in the world should we sit back and think, well, we don't need it? You know, I was only for them. Well, praise God, if it was only for them, look at the results they got. Are we getting the same results? Well, no, not really. Not across the board. Maybe that says something to us. Yes, but Brother Martin, that was only for the leadership. Who are you? You're sitting in this room tonight, and some of you, you don't think you're leaders. You're leaders. There are some of you right now, you're on the verge of breaking through and seeing something from God's perspective about you and your calling you've never seen before. And some of you are going to be really shocked when you see it. When God tells you that your destiny is to stand in a pulpit and preach and teach the Word of God, and you never thought yourself of that way. You thought, well, I'm just going to scrub toilets the rest of my life and go to heaven and hopefully not smell like it when I get there. God's got some things in store for some of you that you haven't even begun to anticipate, and you better stop looking down your nose at yourself and start looking through the eyes of God at who you are. Because He's going to give you His vision of you and help you to see who you are and what you've been called to do. And there's no reason to think, though, that we should be ignoring what we are seeing as far as fasting is concerned. If we see it in the early church, then why in the world do we not think we need it today? And then right along with that, it's impossible to have a New Testament or Book of Acts church if there is never any fasting. Alright? Did we see it in the Book of Acts? Yeah. Did we see it? Then how can we have a Book of Acts church? How can we truly have a New Testament church when Jesus says things like, when you fast? When Paul says what he says? When we see examples of it in the Book of Acts? How can we stand up and say,
hallelujah, we've got a Book of Acts church.
Are you fasting?
God, no. We would never fast. Why? If He said he wanted us to fast, then we would fast.
But do you understand what fasting is all about?
Well, it's to prove our humility to the Lord, that we're willing to sacrifice for His behalf.
Really? And what's that going to accomplish for you?
Well, it will save us money because we won't be spending so much on food and we'll have more to give to the gospel. Glory, hallelujah.
And that's all fasting is?
Must be. It's all we know. All there is to know, because we're it, you know.
No! You can't truly call yourself a Book of Acts church or a New Testament church if there's never any fasting. Now, everyone of you in here, just think in your own church. Has there ever been any teaching on fasting? Some of you I know can say yes. Now, I'm not trying to be critical of your pastors, all right? I'm just asking a question. Has there ever been any real, not an exhortation to do it, but any real teaching to fast? Next question, how long have you been at that church? And Have you ever wondered why there hasn't been? See, this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand. Excuse me. This is the thing a lot of people don't understand. Tonight, you have gained more knowledge about fasting than most of you have ever had in your entire lives. Now, here's what's sad. You probably have more knowledge about fasting than your pastor after tonight. Again, I don't know your pastor. Well, some of them I do, but generally speaking, I don't know your pastor. However, if you sat there tonight, and you said inside, you've never heard any real teaching about fasting, been exhorted to do it, but never really any teaching, that means that your pastor does not understand what fasting's all about. Which means that tonight, you've already gained probably more information than your own pastor when it comes to fasting. Now, don't get a big head over this, all right? I'm just using this as an illustration to help all of us understand that in the body of Christ, this is really not hammered. Now, here's one to think about. And you can check this out if you want to. When you go through the New Testament, it's almost humorous. And you take a look from Matthew to Revelation at all the references to sowing and reaping. You know what I'm talking about. Sowing and reaping. Then you go back from Matthew to Revelation and take a look at all the references, either teaching or references, about sowing and reaping. Then you go back Matthew to Revelation and take a look at all the teachings or references to fasting. There are three times as many references to fasting as sowing and reaping. Three times. But now which one is used the most? Why is that? Because fasting doesn't bring in money. Three times. Three times. Now here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. If you taught people about fasting and they started doing it, the spiritual transformation would be such to where they would become givers. And you wouldn't have to threaten them with a curse or promise them the bank if they sow into your ministry. But the downside is this. The spiritual growth that takes place as a result of the fasting can cause the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened to see that they don't need to give into your ministry any longer. That's just some of the things we're going to learn, praise the Lord. As we get deeper into this, yeah, I know there's more, but we'll pick up here next week, start talking about the benefits. I just want to encourage you that God has given us things in His Word, His desires for us, what we're supposed to become, what we're supposed to know, how we're supposed to operate, and on it goes. In the Bible, Jesus, and in the book of Acts, and beyond the book of Acts, we see teachings and references to fasting as it applies to Christians, the body of Christ, kingdom of God principles. It's wrong for us to dismiss it as having no meaning, no application, and not for us today. It's wrong for us to just assume that it can't do anything for us other than make us hungry. It's wrong for us to assume that there is no benefit, because if it's mentioned this much in the Word of God, that should clue us in. There is something going on with fasting. We need to know what it is. We need to find out. And we're going to find out. We're going to learn. We're going to discover different kinds of fasts. It's not all only a food fast. There are other things that we can do. I said food fast, not food fight. There are other methods of fasting and so forth, and we're going to see these things. And so, really, for some of you, this whole course on fasting and what you're going to learn, this might be the missing ingredient in your walk with God. This might be the one thing that you need to apply that's going to, like, be the afterburner in your spiritual development. It could produce so much change and transformation, that glory to glory, into that image, more than you've ever experienced. And so, do we give up our prayer? No. We don't give up our prayer. We don't give the worship up. We don't stop, getting into the Word and so forth. But this is a component that we can add. We've talked a lot about it. you know, from the beginning of school. Now we're going to learn about it and learn how to apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We'll be open. We will understand and we'll see and hear the answers to questions that we have, and that the truth about fasting is going to sink deep into our hearts, and we'll see it as never before. And that, Father, as we begin to make the choice to fast, that we will be strengthened by your power and anointing to do the fasting that we're supposed to do. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. Again, we just call it seed sown deep into our hearts, and we say it will produce the fruit that you want it to produce. Father, we love you. We bless you. And as we leave this place, we just receive by faith divine protection. Jesus, thank you so much for being our Savior. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. God bless you. See you next week.